You're listening to Israel Scene. I'm Steve.
And this is Yoram. 3 years ago, Steve, we did a program on the Hadassah Medical Organization on their Mount Scopus facility with Barbara Sofer, who is the public relations director for the Hadassah Medical Organization and is also a biweekly columnist in the Jerusalem Post. Last week, I went down, actually, from my house. I went down to the Ein Kerem campus, which is on the west side of the city, to talk to her a little bit about the new building they're about to dedicate. It's a brand new multi-story building. I'm not sure how many, maybe 10, 12 floors of the most up-to-date medical facilities in the Middle East. And we talked about it a little. We visited some of the facilities in the building, and we have some photographs. Some of them are outside where we can see the building from the surrounding area and from up close, and a few photographs of the new entrance, the new main lobby. I think it's an incredible project. The whole Hadassah project is really amazing. And this is the latest version.
This building is dedicated to
Sarah Wetzman Davidson. It has her name because her son, the late Bill Davidson, wanted to honor his mother, Sarah Wetzman Davidson, and this building. Here we have Sarah Wetzman Davidson was a young woman who lived in Detroit. And when Henrietta Zold, the founder of Hadassah, came to Detroit in 1916, Henrietta came by train. She was afraid of flying. She was picked up by a young woman who already had a car. After all, it was Detroit. Name was Sarah Wetzman. And Sarah Wetzman took her to her own house, a beautiful home of people who were well-to-do, the Wetzman family, and that's where Henrietta Zold stayed. And while she was there, Sarah Wetzman decided to found the Detroit chapter of Hadassah, and she had a meeting in her house, and she drove Henrietta around to meet other people of means who could possibly help the fledgling organization, which had been started in 1912. And Sarah Wetzman's parents were very supportive. They had been in Israel, and her father had been in pre-state. They had been in pre-state Israel, of course. They'd been, and her father had bought land on Mount Scopus, land that he would eventually give to the Hadassah organization, first to Karen, through Karen Kayemet, and then to the Hadassah organization, to build the first major hospital on Mount Scopus. And Sarah, well, Henrietta was in Detroit, and she said, you know, you people make cars. I have a medical unit leaving to go to Israel with 44 professionals, to pre-state Israel with 44 professionals, and we could use an ambulance. How about donating an ambulance? So Sarah Wetzman said yes, and she was unsuccessful in raising the money, so she borrowed it from her father. And there, the first ambulance came to Israel as a result of Sarah Wetzman. She went on to become a leader of the Zionist movement in Detroit, and eventually married Mr. Davidson. And her son, Bill Davidson, who owned the Detroit Pistons and also was the head of a very large glass company. We use the glass in this building. Decided to honor his mother by donating $75 million to this building. And now the building costs $350 million. But it was really that first $75 million gift that got things moving very fast. We had a name for the building. We had a major donor. We had other people who came forward with other large gifts at the beginning. And with that, we could launch the building of the Sarah Wetzman Davidson Tower. What we didn't know at the time was that the American economy was going to collapse almost. And we had already committed to building. We kept saying our grandmothers built the hospital on Mount Scopus during the Great Depression. We really said that. How are we going to do this? Our grandmothers built Mount Scopus, and they didn't even have checkbooks. They were in worse state than we were. It was the Great Depression. we can do this. Maybe we half believed it. We kept saying it. And lo and behold, we raised the money and the tower is up.
I understand that Hadassah also lost money with Mr. Madoff.
Yes, of course. The worst blow was really the stock market of our donors, because people when the stock market falls, people don't feel, even if they have the money to give, no one feels at time. So the stock market when the stock market collapsed in the United States, many of our donors were challenged in terms of giving. It's not that they were impoverished, but when you lose a lot of money, you're not in the mood to write a very big check. It takes a while for you to recover and understand that you're not going over. And some of them were challenged, some of them. And then came along the evil Mr. Madoff. And Hadassah had, we had received $7 million in donations that were tied to, we had to leave them in Mr. Madoff's account. That was part of the condition. And so we invested with Mr. Madoff, and we did what looked on paper as if we were doing really, really well. So we put some more money in that account. Indeed, on paper, people who invested were doing on paper very, very well, until we found that the $90 million that we thought we had in an account was actually $0. So that although we hadn't actually lost $90 million, when you think you have $90 million, you're making 10%. That's $9 million a year that you have for current operations. I must say that, and that has we had donors also who had large sums of money with him. So the evil of Madoff was a big blow to us. Worse than that, because we had actually made money with Madoff, there's a process called a clawback, in which we had to give back $45 million of our other savings to pay back, because we'd made to people who had lost more than we had. But we did it, down to the penny. Everything was done, and it's behind us. And despite Madoff, despite all of that, we showed the strength of a 100-year-old organization, where people know every penny is accounted for and everything is going to building the health of the entire region and educational programs as well. So that our grassroots people understood, listen, it was a down moment. We can't glorify it. We all know in our lives, we all have those moments too. In our families, we have those moments. We try to regroup and come back, and that's what we did at Hadassah.
Now we'll find a quiet place. You said there's a healing garden. Wow, we are in a healing garden in the middle of the building, fifth floor, I believe. Wonderful large glass windows overlooking the Jerusalem hills. I see the school where my granddaughters go. I see the road that goes up to Mevaseret Zion. I see... Well, this is really lovely, and there are planters in the middle of this room with plants, very green, very very lush. That's an interesting idea to have a place indoors for the Jerusalem winters and some of the really intensely hot summers where people can go and heal. Marvel. And they're still building. You can hear in the back, everywhere we go, you hear in the background the machinery working to finish it up. It just really opened recently to at all. It's and this building now forms the entrance into the main Hadassah Hospital. One of the things I wanted to ask you is what's going to happen to the old semicircular wards?
We haven't finalized the plan for this, for what we call the round building. The overall overarching idea is to convert it to a day hospital. More and more procedures are done in as outpatients today. You go in the morning, you have your knee repaired, and you go home before nighttime. Fewer people want to spend the night in the hospital, and people have found it's better for your health to get in and out of a hospital quickly. Plus, the way of medicine is much more towards quick, non-interventionalist procedures. People are going into the body in different ways so that you don't have to spend the night. so that we're going to have to, when we finish this building and we have it all ship-shape, we're going to have to start a campaign to remodel the round building. In the meantime, the people who were in 4 in a room and 5 in a room are very happy to move out to a new modern building. It was actually a very hard decision for us to make. Do you renovate an old building or do you go into something so huge? And it was really our, we considered renovation, we considered and considered, and it's our late president, June Walker, whom I think you may have met, who said one day, damn it, we're going to build something new. She was a feisty woman from New Jersey. And she said, and then again, we decided, yes, we have to take the plunge. Just as previous generations built the old building, we have to make this happen now. And so that became our plan. And really, since 2005, we've been concentrating. It's not that long. We've been concentrating on building the most modern hospital in the Middle East.
I actually felt it's been a long time. I come here on occasion for outpatient clinics, and the entrance to the building kept changing, and it became more and more inconvenient, and it was harder and harder to get into the building and to be able to come in and leave a car here. Although part of the new building I see is our new parking lots, new facilities for vehicles and for the buses. There's even a small hotel here for people who need... We need to spend some time with their ill relatives. Now we'll move out of this quiet room to something serious. We'll try and find something seriously quiet.
We had some technical problems because they were building as we were interviewing, so in some cases the noise and so on just got in the way. So there are a few things that Barbara spoke about that are not appropriate to put on because of the background sounds, and you can't quite hear what she's saying. One of the interesting stories she told was about in the planning phase, there was the thought to make it like an American hospital where everybody has their own room. Now, when I was in Hadassah in 2011, I was in a room with 6 other people, which I didn't find particularly disturbing, although one or two nights were a little more difficult. People being restless and making all kinds of noises. So the idea was to do this American style. Everybody has their own room. Then it turned out when they went around to ask what people really wanted, they discovered people didn't want to be alone in a room by themselves. People wanted to have a more social, the possibility at least of a more social environment. So the rooms are set for 2 and 3 people maximum 3, and they're designed in such a way that each person has more privacy than in the open wards, but still can feel the presence of someone else. If they need to talk to somebody, if they need, you know, to ask for some help or something, it's possible. Also, in the old wards, when somebody came to visit your neighbor, they often were sitting on your bed. So that's another thing, that each of the bed spaces has enough room for your visitors to be able to sit with you and without disturbing the other people. That was, I think, one of the main things that was lacking that we didn't get to that were not clear enough in the original interview. And the Hadassah organization is going to have a 100th year ceremony. This will be 100 years since the founding of Hadassah in 1912. I don't remember the exact date, but we'll put that up when we have it. Another interesting thing that Barbara says, and she kind of glosses over it, about how this woman from Detroit didn't have, the women in the beginning of the Hadassah experience didn't have their own checkbooks. And if you think of the position of women 100 years ago in the United States, certainly in the Middle East, to have their own checkbooks, to have their own cars, to have their own...
IsraelSyn.com.
You know, to have control over their own money was not the ordinary thing. And she told a story that because of that, the early Hadassah organizations, the women raised money in bake sales and in, you know, all kinds of ways that were not necessarily connected to the family's checking account, over which they by and large had no control. And all of this has changed, and Hadassah has changed, and the hospital is, as I say, right up to the minute in terms of modernity and all the good things that one would want in medical care. People come here, by the way, from all over the world. There are patients from Iraq. The president of Eritrea was here a few years ago. It's a marvelous organization, and deserving of the support of the community, the wider community, not only the Jewish community, because it serves not only the Jewish community.